Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Praise God. Always an honor. I can tell you from the depth of my heart that Kenya and Kenyans are people I respect a great deal. There is something unique about the Kenyan people. You are quite elitist, highly educated, and very receptive. When you meet a Kenyan, you can see high-level diplomacy, courtesy, respect, honor, and dignity. And so it's an honor to be here. Praise God. One more time, can we honor the conveners of this meeting? Pastor Charles, Pastor Mrs. Joyce Wanjagi, thank you so much. I want to honor all the ministers and the leaders that are here. Thank you for coming to share fellowship. I believe the Lord will be speaking to us tonight again in Jesus' name. Can you lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord? Honor the Father. There was a height Minister Abbe took us to. I wish we just glided on that energy. But we'll climb again. Just lift your hands and talk to the Lord. If you are hungry tonight, pray. If you are expectant, pray. If you want to touch God, pray. If you are trusting God for an encounter, pray. If you want a shift, pray. The time is now. He said, times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Father. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion that appeared before the Lord. Can we go forward? Can we ascend in the spirit? Sarifahila, Parila, Hadagava, Zezezana, Mantakiva, Rahadia, Shalalai, 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 Rakibano, Parekave, Lafaris, Satida, Parida, Haradako, Lekebaro, Radida, Shanda, the Baradia, Gelelelela. Rakibanda Pragnakira Paradoska. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. He said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. It's about a moment. He said, at a certain time, the angel of the Lord went into the waters and troubled it. There is a kairos moment in the spirit where changes, transformation, and transfiguration take place. Barele Ferakaya Mantakiba Rakata Aurora. Ate Kevali Kabana Talavira. Raketa Felo Rabina Tale. I want you to charge your spirit consciously. Charge your spirit. Tonight you want to catch the word. You are not only here to hear, you want to catch something. It's the time where you catalambano. You lay hold of the word. You catch it, you catch it. You see it and you catch it. So river flow, let it alone, river flow, in your church once again, let eternity be seen. River flow, let it alone, river flow, in your church once again. Let eternity be seen. River flow, let it alone, river flow, in your church once again. Let eternity be seen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to share the word of God briefly. I want to share, but part of the things we do from the pulpit is to bring administration to the move of the Spirit. That's the only time we can be helpful to those who listen. I said that to let you know that there is a stirring already in the Spirit, and three persons are about to receive a baptism of fire. I will do an impartation at the end. But there is something for somebody now. And if I don't do this now, this person will miss out of this meeting. There is a baptism of fire. It's a flame. It's a flame of fire. And so now I release that fire. I release that fire. I release that fire. I release that fire. Catch him, catch him. I release that fire. But take a body. Aliyah, eh, Aliyah, eh, Aliyah, eh, Aliyah. Thank you, Father. We ask for refreshing tonight. We ask for activations. We ask for empowerment. Lord, stretch your hands over us and let there be moves, shifts, migrations of the Spirit on the lives and destiny of men. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Please sit down for a moment. I am tempted in this conference to go volatile. But because of the nature of the conference, the theme of the conference, it's important certain foundations are laid. Because some may be listening even after the conference is over. It's important for such to really lay hold on something. And so I'll do a quick recap this evening. And then I'll push a bit further. Tonight, I want to show us how, through litigation and legislation, we can affect systems, territories, and nations. Praise God. The hope of a people is tied to the texture of their priesthood. A A nation is not delivered by the multitude. A nation is delivered by those who are ready to take the responsibilities that that nation requires to enjoy a better. And these responsibilities begin from the spirit. This is why priesthood is very vital. People, families, systems and nations will be in bondage and captivity until a priest arises. It is the rise of a priest that triggers an emancipation. Everywhere you find people fulfilling their prophetic destiny, a priest is hiding somewhere at the background. It is the labor of a priest that triggers awakenings. It is the labor of a priest that triggers emancipations. And it is the labor of a priest that helps people to realize their destinies, either individually or corporately. So the more priests emerge, the better the outcome and the outlook of a people. And so in this conference, we are trying to understand what priesthood entails and how, in particular, legislators are born. If we are able to achieve that, then we'll go a bit further into administration of the power of priesthood. I'm hoping that tomorrow morning we'll have time to touch that a bit, where we look at the dynamics of bringing administration to spiritual authority, and also the dynamics and the requirements for growing in spiritual authority as a priest of the Most High God. But just for the purpose of recap, yesterday we began by outlining very clearly that what God had in mind when He began the project of creation was to create a kingdom of priests and kings. And we said the kingdom of God is not necessarily for Christians. The kingdom of God is for Christians that have grown into the office of priests and kings. Because the reason you will exercise dominion is not tied to luck and chance. The reason you will exercise dominion is tied to definite spiritual understanding you have and the degree to which you engage them. And if a man comes into the kingdom of God, the sign that is in the kingdom of God is the authority that he exercises. Because kingdom is a game of authority. If you don't have authority, you will be marginalized. You will bear a title, but the title will become a reproach to you. And so in order not just to bear titles, but to carry mantles that give expression to the glory of our God, people must understand what priesthood entails. And so the reason God created us to be priests and kings is because He wants us to wield the authority that is required in order to experience the full weight of His kingdom. And so I began by showing us from Genesis how that when God created man, He put him in the garden and told him to dress it and to keep it. And I said that word dress is priesthood. That means tidy it up. And you cannot tidy it up except as you keep it in the presence. Because it's the presence of God that tidies up God's environment. It is the presence of God that transforms God's environment. And so when He said to dress, He was talking about a specific kind of spiritual operation that entails man servicing the presence, servicing himself and his environment with the presence. And when He said to keep it, He was talking about a defense mechanism that requires authority. And that's where kingship comes in. But unfortunately, the man fell. And when the man fell, he could no longer exercise his dominion mandate, and his priesthood was truncated because he was driven from the face of God. But we saw again that the only time God decided to visit the earth again was when altars were raised by men. And so in Genesis chapter 4 verse 26, the Bible said, in the days of Enosh, it said men began to call upon the name of the Lord. So God began another project. That project is what culminated in the calling of Abraham. Get thee out of thy country. Get thee out of thy kindred. Get thee out of thy father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of thee a great nation. And the moment Abraham stepped out, in Genesis 12 verse 6 and 7, we saw that Abraham erected altars. In Genesis 13 verse 18, when Abraham relocated, we saw that Abraham erected altars. That means Abraham understood the mechanism for establishing dominion on the face of the earth. The way to establish dominion on the face of the earth is through the technology of priesthood and altars. And so the greatest heritage Abraham left for his children were blessings and altars. Before he departed, he blessed them. And what he taught them was the way of altars. In fact, not only Abraham's sons understood the way of altars, even the sons of the concubines also knew the way of altars. Balaam, I will go far. I'm doing a recap. But if I digress and enter some things will open up. But you see, the descendants of Abraham that littered on the face of the earth, they had some special kind of intelligence that they didn't read from a book. For example, when Moses ran away from Egypt and went to dwell with Jethro, we saw that Jethro began to teach Moses the way of altars. It was because of the tutelage of Jethro that Moses discovered Horeb. Because Jethro was the one who told Moses that on the mount of Horeb, a spirit appears. That was why Moses would feed the sheep and still go to the backside of the wilderness. It was on one of such occasions that the Spirit of the Lord appeared to Moses. And to prove that Jethro was Moses' teacher, when Moses left and carried the children of Israel across the Red Sea, Jethro came to meet him again to counsel him on spiritual division of labor. When God came, God corroborated Jethro's counsel and told Moses, you will not just divide them, but I will take your spirit and put upon them. So Jethro was instrumental in the training of Moses. It was Jethro that taught Moses the art of priesthood. And if you trace Jethro's lineage, Jethro is one of the sons of Keturah. He was a Midianite. And those were the children of Abraham. And remember, the Bible said in Genesis 18 verse 19, he said, I know Abraham my servant. He will teach his children the ways of God and command them to walk therein. And so the ways of God that Abraham taught his children, including the sons of the concubine, was the way of priesthood. So everybody that came out of Abraham understood priesthood and lived by priesthood. That was what gave them the edge that they had in life. Because this world is regulated by spirits. And as we go further tonight, we will see it, that systems and nations are regulated by spirits. If spirits are withdrawn, men will lack the intelligence to run systems. Men were created to depend on spirits in order to carry out their engagements. Our wisdom is tied to the spirit we are connected to. Everything you read in a book were precipitates of spiritual knowledge that came from spirit beings. They only documented them. It is not a man that walketh to order his steps. Man was not created with that level of intelligence to dictate the outcome of his destiny. He will always depend on spirit to show him what he should do. Because spirits are the actual actors in existence. We are only here to give expression to their will and to their dictates. That is why the summary of a man's life is the degree to which he gives expression to the will of God. The summary of a man's life is not how much he has or how old he lived. The summary of a man's life is the degree to which he stewarded the will of God in the time of his existence. And so God created us as priests. From Genesis through to the life of Abraham until the children of Israel went into captivity. And in Exodus 19 verse 4 to 6, God showed up and began to speak to Moses. And he said, see how by a mighty hand I delivered you from Egypt. He said, I didn't deliver you just to show my power. I don't need to show my power. All things were created by me. The first introduction of God is Almighty. He was first of all revealed as the possessor of all powers. So God is not trying to show anybody that he is powerful. In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. The reason I took you out of Egypt was because I had an agenda. The agenda I have is to create a kingdom of priests and kings. And so I want you to teach the children of Israel laws, ordinances, charges, all that comes from me, so that they will know how to become priests and kings. And then you think that's an Old Testament phenomenon until Peter showed up in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And he said, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. That means without priesthood, we can never have a relationship with God. The weight of our relationship with God is tied to the depth of our priesthood. And so when you find two believers walking, the degree to which they can mirror God's purpose is the depth of their priesthood. It's not just because they are born again. The reason one believer speaks and God acts, and another speaks and it looks like God is asleep, is because of their priesthood. When your priesthood is awakened, the operations of God in your life will be awoken as well. He said God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power at work on your inside. There is a technology that awakens that power. That technology is called priesthood. And so all through scripture, you will discover that one agenda God had in his heart was to raise kings and priests. So if you are not yet a priest, if you are not yet a king, look around and tell yourself, where have I been? Because existence actually begins from the day you become a priest and a king. And there are people who will live until they are 80 and they will never understand priesthood. They will never understand kingship. They will just breathe oxygen, pass through time and go. And they won't know what God is doing in a generation. That is not life. That is a waste. And so in this conference, we want to understand what priesthood entails. We have seen that what God has in mind is to raise priests and to raise kings. Because in the kingdom of God, only priests and kings exist there. This is why you will find 10,000 people line up for one person to pray for them. That means that one person praying for them is the one living in the kingdom. Because he's the one who understands the technology of the kingdom. He's the one living from the advantages of the kingdom. He's the one enjoying the benefits of the kingdom. It's just like your government today. There are those who are active participators in the government. They will tell you what will happen tomorrow. If you like, believe it. If you like, don't. It will happen. If the president comes now and says, tomorrow is public holiday, tomorrow is public holiday, every plan you have will shut down. If the military intelligence detail the president and the president says, no movement tomorrow, tomorrow is curfew, if you like, have wedding, you will postpone it. You know why? Because they are the ones participating in the kingdom. They tell you how to live. So in this, the same vein, in the kingdom of God, only priests and kings have the right to participate, to function, and to experience that kingdom. And so if a believer is not in that kingdom, he is suffering a great deal. He's just not aware. In fact, demons will marginalize him to the degree they want because they know he's helplessly vulnerable. But if a believer is awakened to the reality of priesthood, suddenly he will begin to enjoy his dominion. And so I made us to understand yesterday that we were born to live as kings, but our kingship survives on our priesthood. Because that order of existence is the Melchizedek order. And we are supposed to live according to the Melchizedek order. In Hebrews chapter 7 verse 1, he called him Melchizedek, King of Salem, priest of the Most High God. So he's a king of Salem because he's a priest of the Most High God. The reason you are able to live as a king is because you have a functional priesthood. If your priesthood dies, your kingship is shortchanged. If your priesthood dies, your kingship is withdrawn. A demon can knock you, and there's nothing you can do about it. A demon can come and afflict your body. There's nothing you'll be able to do about it. And you'll be wondering, am I not the child of God? He said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. I don't deny that they are my people. But there is what they need to do in order to live as my people. They may be legally my people, but if they don't know what to do, even though they are my people, they will perish. And it will look as if I'm helpless because I have shown them what they ought to do. So priesthood is what we ought to do in order to improve the quality of our existence. And I said priesthood is prayer. But this prayer is not just speaking in tongues. This prayer has many dimensions. And in order for your priesthood to be complete and holistic, you need to understand the five dimensions of prayer, or the way prayer is executed or prosecuted. And I said the first dimension of priesthood is the ability to minister to the Lord. And I said ministering to the Lord is not asking God for your needs. Ministering to the Lord is to acknowledge who he is and to honor him for who he is. In Exodus 28 verse 1 and 2, it says, separate unto me Aaron and his son, that they may minister unto me in the priest office. So the reason God created the priesthood is because, like every king, God was looking for those who can sing his praise, eulogize him, and to acknowledge his excellency. And so the first thing every priest does in the corridor of prayer is to know how to discern God and how to praise his name, how to exalt him and how to honor him. In Acts 13 verse 2, the Bible said, the people in Antioch, the leaders in Antioch, He said they fasted and they ministered to the Lord. And I showed you a few examples yesterday on how to minister to the Lord. If you will go through the scripture very quickly, I saw that she activated one scripture while she was talking. Because there are many scriptures in the Bible where powerful and wise men were ministering to the Lord. For example, and that's when you will know the stature of a man. The stature of a man is not the title he bears. The stature of the man is the depth of his communion with God. You know, when Hannah had need for a child, she was laboring to get a child and the child was not coming. So an intelligence was furnished in her that the quickest way to rout her need is to minister to the Lord. And so Hannah went to the temple, and the depth of her communion was so much that she didn't have letters to communicate it. Her mouth was shivering. And somebody who was a high priest, who was supposed to look upon her and discern the intercourse that was taking place, was not aware, because Eli's eyes were dim. He could no longer perceive spiritual things. And he looked at her and said, stop this, your drunkenness. When will you stop this? And was rebuking somebody who was high in the spirit. And Hannah looked upon her and said, no, this is not an act of drunkenness. I am overwhelmed with grief. So I am entering into God. I am pouring into God. The proof of what was happening there was in 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 1. And Hannah said, my mouth is enlarged over my enemies. She began to say things that the high priest did not know, because those ones were not written in scrolls. They were written in the spirit realm. He said, my mouth is enlarged over my enemies. And she began to say certain things that were strange. He said, there is none holy as the Lord. How did you know? Because even the angels that are in heaven, the best they knew about God was that you are holy. How did you now know that there are other holy spirits, but there is none holy as the Lord? You know that because your spirit is separated unto God now, your spirit is holy. You know that the angels, because they are separated to God, they are also holy. But Hannah, on account of where she entered with God, she was able to survey all the spirits in the spirit realm. And she came to a conclusion that of all the spirits that are holy, he said, there is none holy as the Lord. Now, that kind of prayer is not, God, give me something. That is a prayer of acknowledgement of who God is. And on the strength of your discernment of who he is, you can give him a kind of praise that you didn't pick from a textbook. That kind of praise comes out of your spirit, because your spirit has had intercourse with God, and it is what you have discerned about God that is peculiar to you that you are able to talk about. He said, there is none holy as the Lord. He said, there is none beside him. He checked all the other spirits that claimed they were gods. She now discovered all of them were fake. So you will know that where Hannah traveled to was a place deeper than give me a child. Because what she was looking for was a child. But when she began to commune with God, she went beyond the place of receiving. She went to a place where she could internalize dimensions in the spirit, and she began to communicate them. If you brought Eli to that school, Eli would be a student. Because what Hannah was saying, the high priest didn't know it. He said, there is none beside thee. That means any other being that says he's a god is a liar. That's what Hannah was saying. Number one, you are the most holy. Number two, there is no other being that can claim that is a god apart from you. You are the only God that exists. Because when I entered the Chronicles of the Spirit and I looked, there was no other person that had the authority that you command. So you alone have to be the source of all spirit. And then in order to buttress it, he said, he breaketh the bowl of the mighty. He said, those who were weak, he kindled with strength. He lifted the beggar from the dust. He lifted him from the dunghill. He puts him among priests so that he will inherit thrones. He said, the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he established their dominion thereof. How did you know where the pillars of the earth were? Because at this point, he was now eulogizing God as the almighty creator. Those kinds of things, they don't hear them in the public. You hear them in the place of intercourse, where God himself begins to whisper into your spirit, this is who I am. This is what I represent. And so when you come back to him, you begin to tell him what he is that nobody else knows. On the strength of that depth of communion, God begins to enjoy and begin to have pleasure. Because that's the only way you can give God pleasure. You don't really give God pleasure when you cast your offering on the altar. That offering is used for administration.
The only thing that gives God pleasure is when you can discern him. And on the strength of your discernment of him, you begin to eulogize him. That's what the 24 elders and the four beasts do forever and ever. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And they are saying that repeatedly. You are hearing it and you think it's a boring song because it's repetition. But God is hearing something different. Because they are exploring depths of God that nobody can study. Holy is the Lord. That was the kind of intimacy that Hannah entered into. And we say that dimension of intimacy is called ministering to the Lord. It is the first order of priesthood. And so if you want to be a priest of God, you must also master how to minister to the Lord. The psalmist was speaking in Psalm 29. And he said, bless the Lord. He said, for he's full of majesty. He said, for the voice of God is full of glory. He said, the voice of God thundered it. He said, the voice of God divided the flames of fire. The voice of God discovered the forest. This is only the voice of God that somebody is talking about. He's not talking God yet. He just picked only the voice of God and he was talking about the voice of God. He said, the voice of God causes the hind to calve. How can a man be talking? These guys could sing God forever and ever and they will not be exhausted. For such people, God separates them unto himself and calls them his priests. You are not a priest because you went to a ritual. You are a priest because you have mastered how to minister to the Lord. And every one of us that is born of God, our first assignment in existence is to know how to minister to the Lord. Because the first way your life will glorify God is not to go out and win souls. It's to first of all know how to give thanks, give praise, honor and glorify him. Because if you don't do that, what will you teach the soul that you want? It is called ministering to the Lord. And I said the second dimension of priesthood is the art of beholding him. It may not mean much to you until you are married. The women who are married here, they understand. A woman can be excited from morning to evening if she dresses and comes out and the husband just looks at her and says, my God, what a beauty. She will just become shy. Now, if the husband wants to go deeper, as she's shy, he will now begin to analyze her from her eyelashes. He will analyze the eyelashes, analyze the skin color, analyze the fingernails, analyze the hairdo, and then the garment she's wearing. Because of that analysis, the next day, that woman will take her bath by 5 a.m. because she wants to hear it again. She wants to hear. And if the man keeps saying it, the man will be in trouble because all her money will finish in her wardrobe. Because she will do anything to keep hearing what the man is saying. Now, when you begin to behold God and marvel at his glory, there is something he does to the heart of God that is so deep. And so I said, when people begin to grow in priesthood, one of the things they do is that they search and seek God just to look upon him. It's like they are missing God so much that they are willing to leave the world, the noisy world, and go to that secret place just to wait, either to hear him or to see him. And they can look upon him forever and ever. They will not be satisfied. If your heart begins to fine-tune into that texture, it means you are beginning to grow in priesthood. Because everything a man loves, he beholds. That's why men labor to get glorious things, so that you can look at it. Most of us who labor to dress well and to wear a lot of ornaments, if people no longer appreciate them, we will dump them. That means 90% of what we don't wear because we like them. We're actually wearing them because people like them and they appreciate them. If people stop liking and appreciating what you are wearing, 90% of the time you will stop wearing them. So the reason you are wearing your suit and feeling confident is because you are feeling that the people looking at you are appreciating and admiring what you are wearing. If you wear it out and they look at you and say, what kind of dress is this? You go back to the mirror. Your confidence will just collapse. What's wrong with what I'm wearing? And then somebody else, this is a local dress. This is a local dress. But I thought this suit was expensive. I bought it for 2,000 shillings. You will now start regretting why you wasted that money. And so every being wants to be beheld. And so one thing priests do is that they behold God and appreciate His beauty, appreciate His glory, and appreciate His excellence. You know, at this point, you are not even talking much. You are just there because you are waiting for Him. And the reason you are waiting is because you want to see Him. You want to look upon Him. He said they looked up to Him and their faces were radiant and they were not ashamed. So there is an act of priesthood called beholding Him. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, He said, we all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord, we are changed. Now, when you begin to behold God, what God does is that thing you admire so much, He now puts it on you so that you begin to represent Him. So the beauty of man is tied to the quality of their beholding, because you reflect what you behold. And so one thing priests do is that they behold God until they become like Him, that I may behold Him, that I may look upon Him, that I may gaze at Him. If there is a hunger in your spirit strong enough to make you separate yourself just to go look upon Him or to hear Him, it means you are a high ranking priest in the spirit. When you want to distinguish between babes and the mature, find out what takes them to God's presence. When the babe comes to God's presence, he has a need. When the need is over, he goes. But when you find a priest, he doesn't go there because he has a need. He wants to see something. He wants to hear something. The presence of God, he's addicted to the presence of God, like marijuana. He will keep looking and he never gets satisfied, because the more he sees, the more he wants to see. God becomes like an endless beauty, fountain of beauty that he never gets exhausted seeing. He will look upon Him and look upon Him yet again. It's called priesthood. Priesthood is the act of beholding God. Because as you are beholding God, God is pouring Himself into you. So the first dimension of priesthood requires you acknowledging and glorifying Him. The second dimension of priesthood requires you appreciating Him, loving Him, honoring Him, and just marveling at Him. It's a sign that God is your priority. It's a sign that God is your all. It's a sign that God is the biggest thing of value in your life. You will not understand how value is judged until you have something worthwhile. The day they give you a Lamborghini, you will not be able to sleep. You wake up at 12 midnight and pack the curtain and look whether it's still packed. You that used to wake up by 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. because there's a Lamborghini in the compound, by 5:30 you want to take a walk. And you are looking at the car, you check the silencer, the exhaust, you look at the tires. These tires are big. Every day you are seeing new things. Sometimes you just go and sit inside the car, not because you are going anywhere, you own it. And when the engine is steaming, you are looking at the speedometer. You are touching some things, the wood they use here. You are just touching, you are just looking, because your affection is tied there. And so in priesthood, the way God judges your affection is what you will do just to look upon Him. And so priests who are actually practicing the act of priesthood, one thing they do is to look upon God. They can be there for 3 days just to hear a whisper. And the moment they see or hear God, their heart is full of joy. That joy, you can't take it from them. Things may be wrong, but they are happy. And you are wondering, why are you excited in the midst of chaos? Because they have something you can't take from them. You can take money from them. You can take car from them. But this one, you can't take it. It's in their spirit. And that's when you become like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. Because you are a beholder of God. The Bible spoke concerning Moses. He said the reason he was able to abandon Egypt was because he saw Him that was invincible. And so when you find a man always going to the place of prayer, it's because of what he's seeing and hearing. It's not because of the answers he's getting necessarily. Yes, he will get answers. But even in the season where there are no answers, he keeps going there. Because he just wants to see God. He wants to touch God. Nothing grants him fulfillment like touching God. That's a priest. If you want to rise as a priest, you must love and master the art of beholding. There are things bigger than impartations. There are certain things that are practiced. You practice your way into those realities. Because it will take a daily exercise for you to come into full stature of their operation. Many times when we come for meetings like this, people want to touch you, they want you to prophesy over them, lay hands on them. It will bring you a dimension. But that dimension will have a consecration. If you don't have that consecration, the dimension will lift. The reason I started laboring in the spirit is because I discovered every dimension rests on the consecration. And so when you are imparted, you will enjoy it for a season. But the dimension will begin to call on the consecration that it rests upon. If you cannot provide the sacrifice of that consecration, the dimension will go back. I traveled once upon a time to see a great apostle called Randy Clark, and he laid hands on me and said, "You will walk in the glory realm." I will pray for people. I didn't have faith. People were being healed. Terminal diseases. I said, it's time to start the global healing ministry. If this thing is this easy, and I started condemning most of the preachers. Is this how simple this thing is that they made it difficult for us? No wonder. Thank God. After 2 weeks, the impartation began to demand fasting. The impartation began to demand long hours prayers. And I couldn't pray like that. Long hours prayers. Sometimes in the night, I would sense like praying. I would just be awake. And I didn't want to pray. When I struggled with the consecration and I didn't keep it, after a while, I went back to status quo. Because in every dimension rests on the consecration. And so one of the things that will make you a priest is to pay the price of beholding. When you see somebody coming with glory and excellence, if you like, go and buy the same suit he wears. Your glory level will be different. Because that glory is beyond the suit. The glory is what has rubbed off because of his beholding. A man can wear a suit, pull it and give you. You will wear that suit the next day. You will look like a caricature. Meanwhile, when you saw the suit on him, you wanted to die. You have the portrait in your office. But when you wore the same suit, you now discover there is something more than the suit that he's wearing. It's the glory of God. And that glory comes only if you behold. This is the secret of priests. And this is why when priests show up, things happen. Things don't happen just because they spoke in a certain way. You can come to a place and shout. When you finish shouting, they will slap you. And then you will know that you need much glory beyond a deep voice. It's called beholding. The third thing priests do is to wait. Waiting is an acknowledgement of the fact that you know he's a king. I don't want to read scriptures. There are many scriptures I would have read. But it will take our time. When Moses was called up by God and he climbed up the mountain, Moses climbed the mountain, the glory of God descended, God was not there. Moses waited for 8 days before God showed up, but Moses didn't go away. Because Moses acknowledged that he is the king, he is the servant. God is the king, I am the servant. So my job is to wait upon him. That act of waiting is called worship. And it is on the strength of that waiting that God will give you with strength. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord, he said they mount up with wings like the eagles. So when a man wants to mount up with wings, he needs to learn the art of waiting. There are many people who want to fly, but they don't know the technology of flying. You don't fly by jumping, you fly by waiting. There is a wing that you have that will never be activated until you learn how to wait in God's presence. And so when you see things happening with people, don't copy them. You will have accident. Don't copy them. You will die. Find out what they are doing. When you do it, the same thing will begin to happen naturally. The moment you begin to struggle, it means your flesh is what is sponsoring it. But when you wait, God will carry you. And so men who have strength that never deplete, they understand something about priesthood. And what they understand about priesthood is the art of waiting. Our generation is a hasty generation. People can speak in tongues for 10 hours. So that they too will have the badge. That they have also spoken in tongues for 10 hours. But they are actually not interested in God. Your prayer can mean many things. But your waiting means one thing. Your waiting means only God's presence counts. So when you are done waiting, sometimes God will see whether you wait for him. When you are done outlining what you need, God will see whether he is the one you are looking for. He said unto Abraham, be careful to note that I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. If you don't wait for me, every other thing will vanish. I am the answer you are looking for. And so when you want to find somebody who practices priesthood, one thing he does is that he makes sure that he encounters God from time to time. And the way he engenders it is by waiting. When he's done praying for 7 hours and his spirit becomes quiet, he still waits. Because the prayer is not complete until God shows up. Because prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. When you are done talking, wait for God too to come and talk. Because if God have not spoken, you have not prayed. You only talk to God. Are we together? And so priesthood entails waiting on the Lord. And I assure you, this is one thing that is difficult for us to do. We can wait before a television. We can wait before a football match. We can wait before a program. I remember the period where demons sanitized Africa with some programs called Telemundo. Telemundo is a semi-pornography. And then you will see young ladies waiting for every evening. They are waiting. The moment is 6 o'clock. They are on the front of the TV. They will check whether they've started. They will check. They will check. You go to certain houses, 3 ladies are waiting. If the program is not yet on, they will start discussing about what happened yesterday. And they will start predicting what will happen today. All of that, they are gingering themselves to wait. Because of the hunger they have for the world system. But when it has to do with God, wait for 10 minutes, everybody is dozing off. Because there's no passion for God. There's no hunger for God. And so when God wants to see how much of himself he can commit to you, he will test your patience of waiting. Because the degree of your waiting is what determines how much of God you can handle. If you cannot wait long enough, he cannot give you much of himself. If you have the tenacity to wait, God can give you all of himself. Men who carry God so much, they have a lot of patience in God's presence. And so God now is sure that it is him they are looking for, not what he has to offer. Because those who need what God has, God can easily give it to them to go. Hope you remember when Abraham was settling his children, the Bible said he gave gifts to the sons of Keturah. But to Isaac, he gave the promise. God can give you the things you are looking for, but you will never have God. The men who have God are the men who are passionate about God and God only. And the proof that you are passionate about God is not to preach about him. It's the degree to which you can wait for him. If God doesn't show up in 2 weeks, do you have the stamina to wait? If God doesn't show up in 1 year, do you have the stamina to wait? If God does not show up in 2 years, do you have the stamina to wait? I know you know you are supposed to start ministry. But what if God has not given go ahead? Can you wait for 5 years? If you can't wait for 5 years, it means that ministry is not God sending you. You are looking for a system to merchandise people. And you want something that you can put the logo of God on. That is not God. And that's why you see many people run into accidents in destiny. Because they didn't wait for God. They were too ambitious to do something. And God became a delay. And as far as they are concerned, even God cannot delay them. And so they will move ahead. God will meet them on the road. It's Satan that will meet you first. Because Satan always comes first. He said, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I am come. Satan is the one that comes first. So you better wait for God. How many of you have met Satan? Don't worry. He may not appear. The circumstances will show. Wait on God so you don't meet Satan by accident. But when you have waited, you have stamina. When Satan is running, you are flying. And whatever he does will turn to your advantage. Praise God. And so the third dimension of priesthood I said is what? Waiting on the Lord. The fourth dimension of priesthood I said is participation. This is where you develop skill. If you don't participate in what is happening in the realm of God, you will not be skillful. And the affairs of life require a lot of skill. And so when you find priests who are skillful, it's because they are participators. They are not just spectators. They participate in the realm of God. If you study Zechariah chapter 3, you will notice something. That the high priest was dented. His garment was stained. And then negotiations were going on. They were discussing his destiny. And somebody was there watching. The prophet that was watching was writing. He was given access to participate. When that man comes to the earth, he will be older than the oldest person in the village. Because his age will not be chronological. His age will be age in light. He hears ancients talk. And so when he talks, he will talk like an ancient. And so one thing every priest presses for and attains to achieve in the spirit is the honor of participation. There are times when you will be pressing on the altar until a day will come. You will hear an angel say, come up here. You have troubled us too long. Come up. You will come up and then they will say, just be watching what is happening. They want to give you wisdom. You may not be permitted to speak, but just be watching. As you are watching, that is how you will learn the ways of God. And so when you show up, what you see is what you will do. It may not be conventional, but it will be powerful. When John the Baptist came, they were not baptizing people. He was the one who initiated it. And they looked at him, they said, the one that dipped people in water. That's why they called him John the Baptist. It wasn't common. Now, when you look at our world today, most of the things people are doing is duplicate. The reason is because priests are few. And so when one person who participated starts doing something, every other person will start copying it, because we are only looking for what is working. We are not willing to ascend into Zion. And because we are not participating, we are not bringing inventions from the realm of light. Meanwhile, in darkness, you are not permitted to start until you have participated. The things witches do are 99% experiential. Witches are not conventional. They are not mechanical. Witches originate things from the spirit realm. If a witch shows up today, she won't call herself a witch until she's able to demonstrate the power of the spirit. Because they know that what they represent is not talk, it's reality. But for you to be able to demonstrate reality, you'd have participated in the realm of reality. Today, people organize healing service. Not even headache is healed. Because they know that healing service should be once in a month. So it has become part of church program. And no healing is taking place. Because they've not participated, they want to come and act. John was speaking in 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. He said, the things that we heard, we didn't run because we heard. He said, we looked upon. We didn't run because we looked upon. He said, now we handled it. He said, because we have handled it, we can now invite you into fellowship. So when John is talking to you, he's not just teaching you something. He's inviting you into the fellowship. Because a man who participates has the authority to present. If you have not participated, you will not have the authority to prove what you are talking about. You go to places, people are talking about fire. Nobody is on fire. They are talking about healing. Nobody is being healed. They are talking about bilocation. Nobody is bilocating. But you just want to say things that look big. So that people will say, my God, my God. Don't say things that you have not participated in. John the Baptist was speaking, or John the disciple was speaking. He said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto thee. And this is why they had authority. Because the things they were saying, they didn't just read them. Read to learn and be inspired. But what you can demonstrate is what you participate in. And so in addition to your reading, make sure you wait on the altar until you touch something. Elijah touched fire. That's why he could command fire. Any other person who tries to mimic Elijah will receive the fate of the sons of the Sceva. He said, the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, do you know him? And to prove that they didn't know him, the demons gave them a very sincere punishment to make sure next time they don't repeat this error, because this is not a business of children. You know, we are talking about changing our world. So we need to handle reality. Because if the church does not participate in the things she speaks about, the church will be seen as a clown. In fact, we will be seen as the problem of society. And it is almost becoming like that, because we are removing the ancient landmarks. The fathers of old were not talkers, they were demonstrators of realities. It was the realities they handled, they spoke about. But we are a generation of big and lofty talking, with little or nothing to show. And the reason is because we've not labored on the altar to participate. Participation in the spirit is entrustment. They will watch you for a long time, and they will now see that now you qualify to touch some things. And so they will give you those things as a token to your generation. And so if you have not received something and you come to talk about it to your generation, you are a liar to your generation. And you will become part of the problem, not the answer. Imagine if... Let's go forward. You know, participation will cost you a lot. This is where priesthood becomes interesting. I said she quoted the scripture from Psalm 23. Psalm 24 verse 3. He said, who shall stand in the hill of the Lord? Who shall ascend his holy mountains? Say him that is of a pure hand. Participation has requirements. That is of a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul in vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So before you participate, they will check you. They will probe you. They will scrutinize you, and they will sanctify you. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and his train filled the temple. Before he entered the court, they said, wait. They said, one of the seraphims took the coals and touched the stone. And he said, now your iniquity is purged. You can now participate. The reason the church is not doing what she ought to do is because people are going to learn things from textbook and coming to speak on behalf of spirits. We removed priesthood and we substituted it with Bible school. There's nothing wrong with Bible school. But if you only read things from books and you want to come and represent a spirit by reading a book, you are a joker. They say holy men of God spake as they were carried by the Spirit of God. So what they were saying were the things they represented. Our generation removed the labor of priesthood and we replaced it with excitement in church. And so churches in those days, that people will come and drill in prayer until they touch something. Now when you come to church, they are acting drama. Even in vigil, a vigil now will start from 10 p.m. because they need to waste the first 4 hours. If you start by 6, nobody will come. Meanwhile, the elders of old started vigil from 6 to 6. When you come by 5 minutes past 6, they are already praying. And they will first of all pray till 12 midnight. Then they will start exhortation. When they teach the word of God, then they will pray till morning. We now start vigil by 10. And from 10 to 12 is high praise. People are dancing and carrying chairs up. Now, there's nothing wrong in praising God. Don't get me wrong. You know, I told you about praising in the beginning. But the sound you are hearing, if you are hearing it faintly, you will think it's a club. Because all the beats are the same beats from the club. We are so connected to the club that even when we are in church, we don't want to miss the club. So we had to download the club beat into church. And so everybody is dancing. They are dancing till 12. The moment is 12, they say, let us pray. Prayer is 10 minutes. In that 10 minutes, they now notice people are already dozing off. They quickly replace it with another dance. They dance again for 1 hour. And then when people are excited, they say, let's share a charge. Somebody will now come out for 5 minutes, as if he's in a rush, and read 3 verses quickly. As he read the verses very quickly, he noticed people are dozing off. They say, wait, there's drama. We'll now add drama. By 3 o'clock, God's servant will now come out and share a few messages, prophesy, and then we'll start dancing again. Crusade now. Night vigil will finish by 4. People will now sleep in church till 6. Because they can't go home. Why didn't they pray from 4 to 6? Because they can't pray that prayer. Better end that night vigil by 4. So vigil will end by 4. Nowadays, there are some vigils that is even 12 to 3. That's not vigil, that's night prayer. There is no energy to participate because it takes so much to stand. It takes much to stand. There has to be stamina. There has to be tenacity. There is a requirement of purity before you can participate with spirits that are immortal. But you see, priesthood is dying. And because priesthood is dying, the devil is gaining ground. Even our culture and traditions that uphold morals are being uprooted. Because the devil doesn't want anything that can affect his agenda. So when, as he has penetrated church, he's even penetrating culture. So in Africa now, beauty is nakedness. At least those days, you can't even be naked because of culture. But even the moral values of culture are being uprooted. Because when priesthood is gone, the devil will have a few days. When the priesthood is substituted, the white beasts are summoned to come and take over. And so we must train people again to learn how to participate. Take 15 people, take 30 people, go for a retreat somewhere where there's no keyboard. Pray in tongues with them for 5 hours. Stop. Ask them, what did you see? What did you hear? You have not heard anything. Pray again for another 5 hours. Stop. Ask them, what did you see? What did you hear? They didn't hear anything. Give them 15 minutes break. Take something light. Come back. Pray again for 5 hours. Pray with them until their ears open and their eyes can see. That is Christianity. Christianity is not story. It's not tales. It's not excitement. It's to represent the Spirit of God. Because priesthood is the ability to commune with God until you can represent Him. And priesthood is also the ability to, by the Spirit of God, change things in your realm. And you don't change things by shouting and singing. You change things by power. And you must stand and participate with the spirits that represent power to be able to create the kind of change that you are looking for. And so we said the fourth dimension of priesthood is participation. If we stop this service now and take a census here and ask here, how many of you heard God this week? You'll be shocked. You will not think, okay, this week is just 4 days. It's just in 4 days into the week. Let's add another week. You now say, how many of you heard God from last week to this week? You'll be shocked. You now say, okay, how many of you heard God this month? You'll say, no, December just started. Okay, let's add November. How many of you heard God in November? You'll be shocked. You now say, okay, how many of you have heard God in 2022? You will be shocked that there will not be 10%. You now understand the kind of church we have. It's a church of members, not a church of priests. Our focus is members, church members, that we will snap and put online, not the church of priests. And we want to change society. It doesn't work like that. Do you know why I'm saying this? Because what I will share this night briefly now is to show you how spirits rule system. So you know the level of power. You need to be able to change things. It takes power. When somebody's life is under attack, it takes power. It doesn't take counseling. Counseling comes after power. If you have not dealt with the demon, if you have not altered the molecular structure of the person that demons have mutilated, your counseling will fall on deaf ears. Even if the person receives it, he can't keep it. The secular, the Western world thinks it's about intelligence. They took priesthood away and brought English and programs and principles. After many years, they discover that their society is dying. The soul of morality has been pierced. It has punctured. And they can't even control it anymore. Because they didn't know what priesthood was doing to sanitize their society. It's power. And so before we enter the dynamics of legislation, you have to begin to drill your spirit. See, leave the shouting first. Drill your spirit. Be able to quieten your soul before God until you can pick something from the realm of God. That's when you can be sure that even the salvation you are talking about is real. Because you have walked through time all your life. Everything you know about God is a story somebody told you. That means you are going into eternity with uncertainty. You don't know this your God is true because you've never picked anything from Him. What is the difference between you and the dead religion? Because their God is dead. You claim your God is alive. You've never heard anything from Him. You've never interacted with anything from His realm. And then you are walking. That's why when the devil comes, the first thing that comes out of you is fear. Because you are not sure if what you believe is true. And so we need to come to that point where we surrender to the government of the presence. And number one, this God will accept everything He says He is, and we honor Him for it. Number two, we wait upon Him and insist that we too must see His reality. Number three, we insist that we wait until He speaks to us. And when He speaks to us, we want to participate in His program. This thing you say you are doing in Kenya, I want to participate in it. I don't just want to come to church and go back. What are you saying about Kenya that everybody is claiming and talking about? How come these things are a story to me? What are you doing? I want to participate. So that you don't just join the bad wagon and say God is doing something. What is God doing? Everybody stands up, they say, we are in the last day, God is doing something. What is God doing? Who told you? How are you sure that God is doing something? And if God is doing something, what role are you going to play in it? These are the things that should burden us. Because until we get there, we are not part of God's program. And if we are not part of God's program, we are not priests and we are not kings. our lives will just be a function of receiving the leftovers that those who are participating in the kingdom are dropping by. And so you are receiving healings and impartation. Whereas the man who is coming to impart you is standing before God every day. It is the overflow of what runs out of him that he pours on you in the service. Thank God for that impartation. But when will you also appear on the mountain and say, the God who encountered this man, that he will blow and people will fall. The God who encountered this man, that he will touch cancer and cancer will die. When will I meet that God? Thank God for the healing, but when will I walk in divine health? Thank God for the impartation, but when will I see this God for my own self? These are the burdens of priests. Imagine you are in a family, and every day your elder brother comes and says, that is it, take 2,000. Tomorrow he comes, say, daddy said, take food. Tomorrow he comes, he said, daddy said, take transport to school. Which day will I see daddy? Why is it that you are the one always seeing daddy to tell me what daddy says? Me too, I want to hear what daddy says. I'm not a stranger. I'm not a visitor. I'm also born into the family. Because I'm not only interested in what daddy is giving. Who is daddy? Where is daddy? I want to see daddy. That's where your journey in Christianity begins. And these are the molecules of priesthood. This is why priesthood is so vital and it cannot be taken out of the scene. When you enter those dimensions, then God begins to commit things to you. That's where litigation and legislation begins from. And we say in litigation and legislation, you are either an intercessor or you are a gatekeeper or you are a watcher. A watcher is one who sees to warn the church. A gatekeeper is one who defends the integrity of God and keeps the gate. And an intercessor is one who speaks to God on behalf of the people. You must fall into one of these categories to be relevant in God's agenda. If you are not in any of these categories, my brother, my sister, you are not part of God's agenda. You don't become a part of God's agenda because you belong to a church. You become a part of God's agenda because there's a responsibility God has committed to you. There are those who are seeing and are telling the church what God is saying. There are those who are standing at the gate to defend the integrity of God. And there are those who are talking to God about what is happening so that God can act on behalf of the church. You must fall into one of these categories. This is what Christianity is about, that you are a part and a parcel of God's program. But there are few people who are participating in God's program. Church is full. Participators are empty. Full church, few participators. So there can be no legislation. There can be no litigation. The reason these things are very important is because if they don't happen, God's agenda will be truncated. And if they begin to happen, the agenda of the devil will be truncated. Now that I have been able to show you the dimensions of priesthood, let me show you the agenda of the devil and how priesthood stops it. Because this is where the weight of litigation and legislation actually is. The ability to propagate laws that enforces God's will and truncates the will of the devil, and the ability to take advantage of already established laws to halt what the devil is doing, either in the lives of individuals, in the lives of families, in systems, and in territories. It's not just gathering in church to pray. It's what the prayer is doing. That is what the litigation is all about. That when we pray, what is the outcome of the prayer? But before you can pray those prayers, you need to know what to do to be able to pray those prayers. And that's what I've told you just now. Honoring him and ministering to him, beholding him, waiting upon him, and participating in his realm. By the time you are doing this, you can represent him. But in order to know where you are representing him, you need to know what the counter forces are doing. And so there are three categories of spirits and three categories of men you will contend with that I will talk to you about now as I begin to talk about legislation and litigation. In Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10, give me scriptures now and see what the Bible says. It says, finally, my brethren, He taught them about salvation. When he was done teaching them, he now came to the real matter, where the will of God is defended and the will of the devil is truncated. And he said, finally, my brethren, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Three things you will see here is, number one, you can be a Christian. That's why I call them my brethren. But you may not be strong in the Lord. And you may not be strong in the power of his might. The man who is strong in the Lord is the man who has found his standing in God. It's not just the man who is born again. The man who is born again is his brethren. But the man who is strong in the Lord is the man who through priesthood has found a standing in God. That's a man who knows how to commune with God by ministering to him. That's a man who knows how to behold God and become like God. That's a man who knows how to wait upon the Lord until the voice of God comes to him. And that's a man who can participate in God's kingdom, so enact God's program. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm not talking power here, but I would have shown you something. The word power and might is the word iskus and kratos. The word iskus has to do with internal ability, capacity to stand. And the word kratos has to do with dynamic power that is born out of synergy. And so a man who is strong in the Lord, something happens to him. There is a power building up on his inside, and there is also a connection that that man builds that gives him a strategic advantage in order to superintend over a territory. You notice that when Daniel was praying in Daniel chapter 9, the Bible said for 21 days, Daniel knelt down, he didn't stand up. That is power. There is a power that is stronger than opening blind eyes. The real power in the kingdom is the ability to stand in God's presence. A man never ate any pleasant bread for 21 days. He stood at one spot. That's power. When you read the Old Testament, you will find men who really have power. There was a time God told Ezekiel, lie on one side for 390 days. And for 390 days, Ezekiel didn't move. He was lying on his right hand side. When he finished, and you thought he would go on holiday, God said, turn to the other side. And he lay there for 40 days. A man was interceding for 430 days. That man is stronger than who raises the dead. Because a man who can bring his body under subjection is stronger than a man who can take a city. And so when he was saying, be strong in the Lord, he was talking about an unleashing of a power that is on your inside. There's a power you have that can make you tarry in God's presence until you become like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. Did you notice what happened in the book of Ezekiel? After Ezekiel stayed there for a long time, Ezekiel didn't need to go out anymore. Anytime Ezekiel wants to go out, he will say, the Spirit of the Lord took me by the lock of my hair and carried me. Ezekiel began to travel in the Spirit. Because he tamed his body to a point where his spirit could come out of his body at will. It's a dimension of power that makes a man become invincible. We are too distracted by the world system. We are in every birthday. We are in every marriage. We are in every program. We are on every website, wasting our time when strong men are building stamina on the altar. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The word power of his might is synergy. Because see, when you become strong inside, you will notice that other entities that are like you will begin to come to you. Because your friends are not only on earth. You can also make friends in the spirit. The reason you have not made friends in the spirit is because you have not stayed long enough. Stay on the altar for 3 months and see who will come to you. You will be shocked that while you are yet there, Gabriel will show up and say, I was given speed. I was made to fly swiftly to come and give you skill and understanding. Walk on the altar and see if you will not see Zacharias, if you will not see Isaiah, if you will not see Enoch. They have not gone anywhere. The Bible called them the spirit of judgment made perfect. That's what Kratos is talking about. When Daniel wanted to contend with the prince of Persia, he needed connections. And there are some connections that are not in the government house. There are some connections that are in the throne room. And suddenly a cherub will walk up to you and say, I came to help you. That's why you will know that our helpers are many. When you pursue men and it doesn't work, pursue spirits. Our helpers are not only natural.
There is a place you will get to. You will be shocked that Captain Kuman just passed to glory. And through priesthood, you too can enter glory. You don't need to die to go to glory. You can go to glory through the altar. One can go through dying, another can go through the altar. And when synergy is achieved, something will change. Did you not read about Jesus? The Bible said in Matthew 17 verse 2, after 8 days, he went to the mountain to pray. And he said, certainly, there stood with him Moses and Elias. That is Kratos. When that man comes down, he can take eternity. Because he's no longer one man. He is one man, but he's fighting with the strength of many. There are many prophets that walked in Kenya before now. When you pray and you don't know what to do, stay there. The prophet that conquered Kenya 20 years ago can still come back to tell you what he did to subdue the Kenya of 20 years ago. The power of his might. The earth is a distraction. This world is too noisy. See, sometimes you need to hear stories of witches and understand what they do. A witch can go on 100 days fast, not looking at the sun, to be able to meet a demon. A demon that has wickedness enough to afflict with death. A witch can be indoors for 8 months, and that witch may only drink water and maybe light food once in a day. And for 8 months, that witch will not step out. Because the witch is preparing herself to meet the devil. And a principality will come to that witch and empower that witch to be able to subdue sister. And so that witch doesn't need religion. If he enters your office and you don't have the stature to dethrone her, the day she enters that office, that day you will leave that office. Because of the weight of her priesthood. She came with 8 months of fasting. She came with 8 months of intercession. She came with 8 months of communion with demons. You are strolling about on Twitter and on Instagram, and you put your hands in the pocket. You want to fight a witch that has more education in the spirit than you. We have all the advantages, but we are illiterate in the spirit. And the reason is because we have not waited long enough. Because we don't have the power of his might. There's no synergy. Do you know how many intercessors can bring down Kenya? Do you know how many angels must be deployed for Kenya to be won? What is the spiritual strategy? How many men are even aware? Before the Holy Ghost came down, they needed 120 intercessors. They knew. And so they gathered in the upper room. When the time was right, the Holy Ghost came down. How many intercessors are needed to take Kenya? How many angels are needed to trigger the revival in Kenya? How many hours of prayer is required? How many quorum is needed in the throne room? What is the word of litigation required for Kenya to appear before God? You don't read that in the book. It is shown to you. We lack spiritual intelligence. Sit down. I don't want to go high yet. He said, put on the whole armor of God, wherewith you'll be able to stand all the wiles of the devil. And he told us something. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, these spirits are organized. They are systemic. They are deliberate. They are well structured and programmed. They don't just act haphazardly. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Principalities are creatures in the spirit realm who are princes, but they don't have territories. You see, when you study the Kedah of the spirit realm, you will find out something. That after Christ, you have thrones. After thrones, you have dominions.
After dominions, you have principalities and then you have powers. That is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. When dominions fell, that is Lucifer, the son of the morning, because he was like a man. Hope you know the man that was created was created a dominion. That's why when he made man, he said, have dominion. And he gave man the earth realm as his territory. Because a dominion is a prince that has a territory. The messenger of a dominion is a principality. And so what the Bible was teaching us is that the way the devil colonizes territories is very strategic. What he does is that he sends a prince that does not have a territory, whose lust is to possess a territory. That's why principalities come first. And so when they come, what they do is to take a census of all the category of people that are in the territory. The reason is because the authority over territories belongs to men. He said the heavens belong to God. He said, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. And so when a principality shows up, he will find out those who are prophetic. Because the prophetic people are the first gatekeepers. If you are a prophet and you are not on the altar, what will happen is that your spiritual antenna will be open. And so any spirit can manipulate you. Because you have the ability to pick and to pick signals. If a prophet shows up here now, his emotions are high. His sensitivity is high. That's why many prophets are victims of immorality. Because they pick frequencies so much and their emotional intelligence is very high. And so what principalities do is to search men that have such gifts. And then they begin to traffic them through lust. When they traffic lust in their direction and they are able to infiltrate them, they will now use them to infiltrate the territory. And so what the devil will do is that he will raise three categories of people. The first people he will raise are messengers. The messengers are those who talk and disseminate the activity of the devil. Some of them become fornicators. Some of them become liars. Some of them become malicious people. They keep malice. They create contention, provoke anger. What he's trying to do is to create an atmosphere for the other princes to come in. Because anywhere there is contention, anywhere there is jealousy, anywhere there is fight and argument, evil can exist there. And so when the messengers are able to do it, you'll find a young lady, she goes to sleep with a married man, the family scatters. As the family scatters, the children go wayward, the wife goes into another thing, the man goes into another, they are discomfiting the structure of the territory. And this is what the messengers do. Somebody thinks his mouth is rapid. He goes to a place, plants a seed of discourse, cause problem between two people. The problem escalates and affects 20 people. They are called messengers. So many people are bearing the name Magdalene, Martha and Mary, but they are agents of the devil. They are the lowest cadre of demonic powers. They are messengers. They bring gossip, they bring malice, they bring backbiting, they bring lies, they spread rumor. And when they have created that atmosphere of chaos, then the next category of people come in. Those ones are called warlocks. A warlock is a spiritual programmer. A warlock is more intelligent than a messenger. A messenger, the devil just takes advantage of his appetite. He desires to see people quarrel. He likes it when people are fighting. He likes argument, so he keeps spreading it. And when he creates the atmosphere, warlocks now go to work. Now that there is contention, warlocks will now create a program so that because you people are vulnerable to malice, problems will keep happening here for the malice never to end. And so a simple problem that provoked a malice of 2 days suddenly can no longer be settled for 10 years. Because so long as the malice remains, the atmosphere is sustained. A warlock can show up because this man fornicated. A messenger came and made the man to fornicate. The wife now, the warlock will create a program of unforgiveness. So the wife cannot forgive the man for 15 years. He will keep telling the man, you are a fornicator. You betrayed me. I will never forgive you. Bitterness is growing in her heart. And then this man is being pushed away. So what will happen is that the man will continue with the program of fornication. And the woman will continue with the program of bitterness. That family is now open. what they are doing is creating a system for the other demonic spirits to come and dwell. When a warlock finishes, then a sage comes. A sage is a warlock that is of the highest order. His job is to impart gifts and capacities. It is actually a sage that demons work with. A sage can come to you and say, bring your hand. He will spit and rub his hand and say, from now, if anybody is beaten by scorpion, rub your hand there, it will go. You will do it, it will happen. Because a sage has spiritual intelligence. So a sage trains warlocks and imparts them. Sages are not many. Sages are transmitters between spirits and men. A sage trains a warlock and a warlock manipulates messengers. But the goal is to create an atmosphere where demons can dwell. Now, if there is no priesthood to discern that atmosphere and to scatter it, you will notice that as the atmosphere keeps building and becomes strong, it will become a spiritual system. That spiritual system is where the princes of darkness will dwell. This is how devils take people, families, and nations. Somebody may offend you and you say you never forgive him. You are not doing yourself a favor. You are actually doing yourself a disfavor. Because that unforgiveness, the energy that is coming out of you, you may not know, but there are wise men who are interpreting it in the spirit. Because every man who is passing carries an energy. If your heart is full of love and purity, it's like a white cloud in the spirit. The demonic beings, they can see. That's how they know those who are Christians. They don't know those who are Christians in the spirit because they call themselves Christians. They know those who are Christians because of the kind of energy they emit. And so when you pass, they can pick those energies. If there is bitterness, if there is lust, if there is anger, they can see it. And then they know that, oh, this one is a victim. They now begin to trouble you. This is why you forgive people whether they deserve it or not. Because it's about your own safety. The energy you are emitting in the spirit is a language. A warlock can see it. If a warlock sees you, he can tell where you are coming from. He can tell what you want to do. He can tell who you are. He can read your energy and discern your personality. How many of you have watched Merlin? That's how cities are born. You need the intelligence of a warlock to build a city. And so what the warlocks and the sages do is that they create spiritual quadrants. Quadrants of weaknesses that are in the men of those territories. Some are full of bitterness. Some are full of pride. Some are full of lust. Some are full of anger. When those quadrants are completed, then the demonic princes will begin to come in. When the princes come in, some will sit on the prophetic corrupt people. Some will sit on the proud corrupt people. Some will sit on those who are full of lust. When they dominate them, they now have territorial legality. You can't just come and say, get out. No, it won't work. The reason is because the will of these men that they have enslaved gives them legality to be in those systems. And so when you come into the government, you will find legalities that princes have to sit in those governments. If you come into families, you will find legalities that princes have to sit there. It will take more than doctrine for things to change. You can preach from morning till night. Those princes will not go. Did you not read about Peter? In Luke 22 verse 31, Jesus is the living word of God. He was with Peter. Yet, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you. That means there are things that the word alone cannot do. Because the word was with Peter. Yet, Satan desired to have him. The word had to pray for Peter. He said, I have prayed for you. I am the word, but I have prayed for you. The problem the church has is that we are preaching dead logos to people that Satan has. We are preaching dead logos to people that are under the government of Satan. Somebody gossip for 5 years and Satan has found a stronghold on that person. You now show up and say God is good. The living word was with Peter, but the living word had to pray for Peter. He said, I have prayed for you that your faith faileth not. He said, when thou art recovered, strengthen thy brethren. The word had to add priesthood in order to save Peter. in the garden of Gethsemane, Jesus went to pray and he told them, I am with you. I am the word. He said, but pray that you fall not into temptation. Do you see why many people have scriptures in their head, but they are slaves of spirits? Because even if the word is with you, if there is no priesthood, you will fall into temptation. I am the word, but pray. If you don't pray, you will fall into temptation. You can have all the Bible in your head, you will fall into temptation. Because the word made flesh was with people. The word made flesh counseled them to pray. What will keep you standing is what prayer does to my word that is in your spirit. And so where there is no priesthood, people become vulnerable because there is a program in the territory that has made them slaves already. A friend of mine relocated from one part of the country to another. He now discovered after 2 weeks that he started having lust. What is going on? He didn't know. He came into a web that there are territorial spirits there that manipulate people that have his kind of frequency, because he is prophetic. And so the moment he came and they picked the radar of the prophetic, they began to woo him with the energy of the environment. And he discovered after 2 weeks, he started feeling lonely. He now began to look for girls to make friends with. And he made friends with a girl. In fact, they had planned for the girl to visit, because they've talked into, you know, people have sex talking on phone. They had talked into sex on phone already. So they needed to consummate it in his house. But God showed mercy. People were praying for him. And so when the lady came, both of them prepared for what should happen to happen. Somebody now came to visit that day and refused to go. As the lady came in, they started talking, about to fall into the grave. He said, I saw a young man that is void of understanding. He said, he has gone the way of the strange woman. And he said, no one that goes that way returns. No one that takes that path returns. He was about to join in the path of no return. But prayers have been made. Prayers. 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 And so somebody from nowhere came to the house and sat down and wouldn't go. That day, God took advantage of his appetite for stories, and they kept talking stories. My friend was angry. He wanted to stab the brother, but the brother was his salvation. After a while, the weight of iniquity broke, and he started weeping. When the lady left, he knelt down, confessed, and was rededicated. Prayer created another algorithm, a counter-programming that diffused what the devil planned. Because the devil had everything in place. But when men pray, oh my God, when men pray, the power to shut darkness is activated. Sometimes you will be helpless, but prayer will help you. I was in a club, a pastor. I had the destiny of an apostle. But before I entered my calling, the devil had a program and manipulated my way into the club. And when I stood in the club, I had taken a bottle of Baron de Vaux, and I heard from the wall, the wages of sin is death. What gave the wall the power to speak was the prayer of my mother. He said, this one will serve you. Not one hair from his head will fall to the ground. So because of that prayer, even when I wanted to go the way of iniquity, I couldn't anymore, because I was a burnt offering. The one who had legitimate authority over me burnt me on the altar as a sacrifice to God. And so when I thought I was wise, when demons began to manipulate my prophetic radar, they couldn't take me too far. Because those prayers, they can make stones to talk. They can make walls to talk. If men who rise to help you, even inanimate objects will suddenly come alive to save you. Because prayer is the sword, the power that saves men. Anywhere prayer is withdrawn, anywhere priesthood is withdrawn, a people are about to perish. When Hannah said there was none holy as the Lord, she knew what she was saying. There's an intelligence locked in God to bring creation under government that the devil can never know. And that intelligence is quickened when prayer is at work. And so individuals are saved by prayer. Some of you who are serving God here, you're thinking because you are wise. No. Some of you, your parents were even godless, but they were intercessors of Kenya 15 years ago. That said, Lord, in the days when you visit Africa, remember Kenya. We don't know when you will come, but when you choose to visit Africa, remember Kenya. And because of their prayers, you were numbered. Hope you know that we are saved today because Abraham saw us. He said, Abraham, your father saw my day and he rejoiced in it. Intercessors begat us on the altar. That's why today you were just going to watch football and somebody told you an evangelist is coming. And you entered there, you heard the gospel and repented. You think it just happened like that. No! That was a program. Your steps has been manipulated. How you met that boy, how you were invited, how you accepted, how you came to the altar call, all of that were the tears of the intercessors. Because when the intercessors were crying, they were not just crying, they were burning. You see, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. You are the offspring of the intercessors of ages past. And so when a nation is about to be saved, intercessors must rise. And the first kind of deliverance that prayer engenders are individual deliverances. The second kind of deliverance that prayer engenders are territorial deliverances. Demons move men of power. They don't just only control people, they control people who control systems. In 2 Chronicles chapter 21 verse 1, the Bible said, and Satan moved David to number Israel. 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1, it says Satan moved David. The moment a man ascends a throne, the princes become interested in him. Because they know that that one is a possessor of a scepter. He said, and Satan stood up against Israel. But the way he will deal with Israel is not by going for Israel. It's by going for the one on the throne. And he said, he provoked David to number Israel. Because he knew it was a sin against God. The moment David numbered Israel, Israel became a victim. This is why we must pray and pray for those in authority. Paul was speaking in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. He said, I exhort above all that men will lift up their hands everywhere and pray. And he said, prayers and supplication and intercession should be made for those in authority. Believers are not taught. So they end up online attacking their presidents and senators and governors. You will attack them, they will not even care because they don't know what they are doing. They are manipulated by the princes that watch over those thrones. And if you want the nation to go in the direction that it should go, you must also become a watcher over those thrones. Because princes are not only interested in people, they are also interested in territories. And the way they go for territories is by going for the people that carry the scepter. The moment you come into power, you come into warfare. Because they will come for you, not because of you, but because of what you represent in your generation. There are certain battles that you will fight as an individual, but there are certain other battles you will fight because you become a leader. That's why when you find people going through issues, don't be quick to conclude. You don't know their wars. You don't know their battles. There are certain princes that are only equipped to fight presidents. The weapon they have is too much to go look for an individual. So they are equipped only to fight presidents. And there are certain demons that are equipped not just to fight every president, but to fight presidents of nations that have influence over other nations. This is why intercessors have ranks. Because there is a level you are in intercession that you will pray for people. There's a level you are in intercession that you will pray for families. There's another level you get to in intercession, you pray for nations. Samuel said, I will not sin against you by not praying for you. Because the hope of Israel was in the hand of Samuel. Whether Israel will fulfill her prophetic destiny is dependent on Samuel's intercession. And the man knew. Because princes also go for rulers. Did you not read in Babylon? Nebuchadnezzar was a puppet of the prince of Persia. And so when Samuel did all the negotiation and it will not work, Samuel had to go back to the altar. Nations will be in jeopardy until priest arise. It is the priesthood of the altar that brings deliverance to nation. There's no nation serving God that is serving God because they are wise. Every nation where they are serving God and the name of God is hallowed is so because they are priests that have laid between the altar and the pouches, and they will not turn back until the God of Israel reveals himself. The Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 12 from verse 6, when the Philistines, when the Midianite rose up against Israel, he says Samuel, he didn't raise an army. He didn't go to consult with the technocrats. You know, many times the church lost her place. When there is crisis, the church thinks the solution comes from the government house. The government house is manipulated. You create change in the government house from the altar. We look up to economic giants. They are manipulated. Have you not seen some of them that came out recently and said they are happy to go to hell? Have you not heard some of them that said the solution to the world is to kill 1/3 of the world population, and the best place to start killing from is Africa, and those are the people you are looking for to come and save us? The people that believe that Africa is a dumping ground and that Africans are consumers, and if the world will improve, they should kill Africans. Those are the people we look up to. No. The reason they talk like that is because spirits manipulate them. How can you assume the way to solve the problem of humanity is to kill humanity? How can genocide become the cure to human affliction? Except as the spirit of destruction, Abaddon, is ruling over that person. And you think that that person is just wealthy because he's a business technocrat. No, he's empowered by his spirit. And now that he has authority, he can kill and he can destroy. Because he has become an apostle of that spirit. And so when we want to create change in society, our altar must come alive. And Samuel knew. So he didn't run to the king. He didn't run to the army. In fact, in the olden times, when kings are in trouble, they look for prophets. But today, prophets are running after kings. Because what prophets are looking for are cars. In the days of old, when a prophet enters a palace, he's coming with the word of the Lord. A young prophet entered the palace of Jeroboam. And he looked at him and he said, the hand of God is against you. You have erred against the God of heaven. You will die. And the king stretched his hand and the hand paralyzed. Because touch not the Lord's anointed. Do his prophets no harm. Today they can touch us because we are not on the altar. We are pursuing the same thing that the heathens are pursuing. We are pursuing the same glamour that the world is pursuing. Our altars are desolate. There are many people with scepters that you save nations. But the altar is empty. They are talking in the public and the altar is calling them. Come back. Your throne is not in the government house. Your throne is on the altar. When Nebuchadnezzar wanted to make Daniel a governor, he said, no, don't make me. You can make others. I will sit at the gate. My throne is not in the government. My throne is at the gate. I change things from here. And the Bible says Samuel took a stone. He planted it, poured oil on it, and called it Ebenezer. And the Bible said from that day, the hand of God was against the Philistines. Where are the men who know spiritual things? Where are the wise men of our generation? Where are the spiritual technocrats of our generation? This is why I cry on the altar. We can't preach like every other person. When a nation is bleeding, where are those who can stand and say, Lord, restore? Where are those who know what they should do to bring a nation to the feet of the cross? When Archbishop Benson Idahosa wanted to change the fortune of Benin City, the Lord gave him strange instructions. He said, at night, go around the city and go to a roundabout and pray there. When he did it for some days, the signal of what he was doing began to enter the cove. He wasn't talking to anybody. He was walking in the night to a roundabout to pray and prophesy. After 3 days, they picked the signal in the demonic cove. And the next time he came, he saw a pot and they butchered some strange meat that he doesn't know which animal it came from. They came to set a trap ahead of him. Because they know what this man is doing is upsetting the balance. That means what is happening in the city, there is also a demonic watcher watching the program in the spirit. And so they are not moved, no matter the reforms you bring, they are not moved. They are only moved if somebody through priesthood is beginning to affect the program. Because the reason every young lady wants to be naked, even they don't know. The reason every government official wants to loot money and go to Dubai, even they don't know. It's a program. And so no matter the advice you give, it won't work until you go back to the foundation where those negative programs were written, and you begin to change it. If you start changing it, they will visit you. That's when you will know that you are doing business in the spirit. You are not doing business because you have a church and you are preaching. You are doing business because the spirits are aware of your activity. And the only activity the spirits are aware of are the activities on the altar. Ebenezer! And suddenly, the hand of God appeared. And the whole army moved back. Even the land that they took from Israel were retrieved. We cannot take the media until priests arise. We cannot take the government until priests arise. We cannot take the economy until priests arise. There are those from among us that God will send there. But the reason they will be effective is because we are praying. 4 years ago, the Lord told me, He said, I'm raising 3 categories of men. He said, some of them are apostolic missionaries. He said, that's where I'm putting you. You will travel around the nations and you will preach the gospel of the kingdom. He said, but be mindful to know that what God is doing has a triangle. Is a triangle. He said, there are those that will never be known. But the reason you will be effective on the field is because they will be effective on the altar. Because the reason the church in Colossus will succeed is because Epaphras is praying. If Epaphras stop praying, the church in Colossus will die. He says, so while you are traveling, you need to be aware that there are intercessors who are praying. The same way you have burdens to take nations for God by traveling to those nations. He said, that's how others will have burdens to take nations on their altar. And so he said, be careful only to go to where I send you. Because where I send you is where the intercessors have conquered. So we don't go to nations because the door opened. We go to nations because we are sent. Because if you go where an intercessor has not covered, you will be in trouble. Because this thing is partnership and synergy in the spirit. And the Lord also told me, don't venture into any phase or any project until I tell you. Because the projects that you are supposed to carry out, you won't pay for it. He said, there are sons of consolation that I'm raising. Their whole burden is to sponsor the kingdom. So if I go to a nation that God has not sent me to, I will be a victim. It means prayer has not covered that nation. And if I don't have enough authority to survive, I may die there. And so even though doors open, I will consult with God to find out which nation He's sending me to. I started having invitations to America from 2017. There are many nations that they paid flight, paid for hotel allocation. Since 2018, I've not gone. Because God said, go only to the nations that I send you to. Because those who are praying for your kind of calling, they have to first of all take that nation in prayer before you can manifest in that nation. The Lord also told me, don't start a project until I tell you. Don't be creative. The only projects you can execute are the ones I tell you. Because when I tell you, the people who should sponsor it, I've already spoken to them. Because there are 3 quadrants. There are those who are praying who will never be known. There are those who are all over the place who are speaking for God. And there are those who are sponsoring with their finances. God will exhort their horn and give them wisdom for wealth creation. But the reason is because there is a kingdom to sponsor. And so their burden is to find genuine men and genuine kingdom projects and sponsor it. And there are others who will be on the altar. Nobody will know them. When a popular apostle comes here, you want to give him a seed and have him impart you. But there are many sitting here that have more stature than me preaching to you. But their place is behind the altar. Nobody will know them. It's in heaven that they are honored. But it's for the program of God to find expression. You will be greatly mistaken when you think the man who is traveling from nation to nation or the man who gathers 10,000 people is the real mighty man. No, that man is the one showcasing what the intercessor and the financiers are doing. The people who are doing the real work are the intercessors and the financiers. If the financiers stop, the screen will vanish.
If the financier stops, the rolling headlight will vanish. If the financier stops, the television station will close down. The reason you find the excellence is because somebody is paying. And if the intercessor stops, the miracles will stop. If the intercessor stops, the souls will stop. Because the hearts of men are not pricked because you preach an intelligent message. The hearts of men are pricked because the Holy Ghost is working on them. And those who mobilize the Holy Spirit are those who are on the altar. It's a technology for taking systems. And in the same way, there are certain intercessors that pray for nations. There are certain intercessors that pray for leaders. And so the reason a nation will do well is because the quorum of intercession for that nation is complete. I tell you, Kenya will struggle until the quorum of intercessors are complete for Kenya. No matter the apostles that come, it is the intercessors that opens the heaven over a nation. There are many people in Kenya today that God has apportioned to pray for Canada. And so they may be Kenyans, but the destiny of Canada is with them. And there are many people in Ghana that God has put a body to pray for Kenya. Because this is a mystery. It's a mystery. So that divine programs can find expression. There will be no legislation until priesthood is fully established. There are systems that need 1,000 intercessors to pray for until the glory descends for that system to be conquered. You may be there preaching for 5 years, nothing is happening. Don't be discouraged. The quorum is still growing. The day that quorum is complete, you will just say Jesus and the glory of God will fall. So don't be discouraged. We are in different quadrants. We have different ranks and there are different quorums. There are nations that will never turn to the Lord until the quorum of intercessors are complete. And so if God told you to pray for Kenya, this is not the time to back down. Maybe Kenya needs 100 intercessors and you are the 98th recruit. Maybe they are remaining just two. And so when the devil knows that the recruitment is almost complete, he begins to discourage those who have been praying. Maybe God started the recruitment 10 years ago. Imagine out of 100, the first person God recruited, who has prayed for Kenya for 10 years. And maybe the visitation of Kenya is January 2023. Because in January 2023, the 100th recruit will come. And then suddenly the devil will go and tell the first recruit 10 years ago, you have prayed for 10 years, nothing has happened. Won't you rest? Because the devil understands spiritual intelligence. Because if that person comes out, what you make 100 will go back to 99. But it's a technology. It's a technology that systems are manipulated by spirits. And the first way to take over a system is not by sending technocrats, it's by raising priests who can bet that system in the spirit. When a system is bet in the spirit, even those who are not too experienced can take over that system. But if a system has not been betted in the spirit, no matter the labor you put in, nothing will change. This is why the intercessors are the most significant part of our ranks. The intercessor is more relevant than the apostle. The intercessor is more relevant than the evangelist. Because the efficacy of the operations of the apostle and the evangelist is dependent on the efficacy of the job of the intercessor. In fact, your evangelical authority and apostolic horn will not be strong until yourself become an intercessor. Men are not aware of this. They think it's when in their family, three doctors emerge, that the family will have rest. And then they have seven doctors now. Nothing is changing. Because you don't need a doctor to change the family. You need a God to change the family. And the way you work with that God is through priesthood. Many are thinking until the president comes from a particular part of the country or a tribe, that things will change. You don't need a particular tribe to change a nation. You need God to change a nation. And the way that God works is when men are on the altar calling upon his name. This is how spiritual legislations take place. Israel was in captivity in Egypt for 430 years. Nothing happened until a man who met God showed up. We now realize you don't need number. You need people who have met God. Sometimes God can apportion a quorum, but by all means, men must meet God. Israel was in captivity for 70 years in Babylon
until a man began to pray. He said, I, Daniel, I understood by books that the year of captivity of Israel was 70, according to the writings of Jeremiah the prophet. He said, when I knew it, I did not take any pleasant bread. I prayed for 21 days. While he was praying, Gabriel and Michael were mobilized. Without intercession, everything we are doing is in the flesh. And no spirit is impressed, no matter how intelligent you are. They know more than you can ever know. What disarmed spirits are the kinds of fraternity you form, and the spirits that stand for you against the spirit that are against you. And so the second thing intercession does is to deliver systems and territories that are regulated by spirits. The media is regulated by spirits. The government is regulated by spirits. The economy is regulated by spirits. If you want only the Spirit of God to find expression, you must raise an altar to those systems. That altar is what manipulates those systems in the favor of the righteous. And so first, intercessions deliver people. Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you, to sift you like wheat, but I pray for you that your faith faileth not. When thou art recovered, strengthened by brethren. Secondly, intercession delivers systems and nations. He said, Epaphras is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's the whole church in Colossus that one man was sustaining in prayer. Daniel prayed for Israel in Babylon, and he engendered deliverance. And then thirdly, what this kind of intercession does is that it brings us superior intelligence to recolonize our world. Even if the demons are checked out, the level of destructions they've caused will require kingdom technocrats to change it. And so this is the third thing that happened. When the intercessors perfect their jobs, then God begins to alight upon people that he sends to different territories. And these kinds of people must come with superior intelligence. That intelligence is what will engender deliverance. When Joseph showed up before Pharaoh, when he was done talking, he said, let the king look for a man that is desperate in knowledge. And he began to tell the king what he needs to do. He said, let one fifth of anything produced in the year of abundance stored for the year of famine. That kind of wisdom is not in a book, because the world had not experienced national famine before. They've never experienced global famine before. So you will need a knowledge that is beyond every documented literature to be able to bring deliverance. And a man that was born from the womb of the spirit showed up, and he told Pharaoh what was to come, and he told Pharaoh what to do to avert what was to come. And so Joseph, as one man, saved the whole world from famine. It's called superior intelligence. When the king was stranded, in Daniel chapter 5 from verse 11, he said, there's a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. He said, light and understanding is in this man, and he has the ability to explain hard sentences. Listen, when we speak about legislation, it doesn't end with prayer. It ends with what prayer can produce. And one of the things prayer produces is wisdom that cannot be gainsaid. One of the things prayer produces is open doors that strategically position men to create change. There are some of us here that will need doors to open into government for us. There are some of us here that need a wisdom to make a difference in the government. And so when intercession is perfected, intercession must end by opening that door for you and by giving you the kind of wisdom that you need in order to create that change. And so when priests are born, priests orchestrate administration of graces. Graces that bring men into corridors of wisdom and knowledge that cannot be bought or studied, but knowledge that is revealed. It is that kind of knowledge that we need to change our world. When you see the confusion in the governments of the world, do you think you can apply just the principle you pick from Harvard to change it? Even the Western world are confused. There are nations where past presidents spent all the money in that nation, entered into programs that has indebted that nation for more than 50 years. What will you come to do in 4 years to change that level of indebtedness? You will need a wisdom that is superlative. Because the country you came in to head is already sold out. You will need a kind of wisdom that is not of this world. You will need a wisdom that is out of this world. There are institutions that have been perverted. Have you gone to the academia? Students sleeping with lecturers. Lecturers forcing students to sleep with them in order to give them grades. What will you do to recover such an institution? You need a wisdom. A wisdom that can bring that institution under kingdom surveillance so that the will of God can find expression. Have you gone into the economic sector? Values of currency depreciating as though a meta is falling from an elevated platform. Investments that worth $2 billion 5 years ago, now worth only 10 million. An investment that is supposed to appreciate. Because currency value has depreciated, the whole investment has depreciated. What can you do to salvage that kind of situation? You will need a wisdom. And so the third thing priesthood does is to fortify us with wisdom. Fortify us with grace that can turn rotten situation into prospects that carry the ability to save and to bring hope to a generation. This is why when priesthood is going on, people are not just praying. People are not just knowing God. People are being fortified. Because out of the prison, a Joseph must rise. Out of Babylon, a Daniel must rise. Out of Egypt, a Moses must rise. But it will take intercession. And some of you looking at me here today, you may just become the Daniel of Kenya. You may just become the Joseph of Kenya. You may just become the Moses of Kenya. This is why we will not stop praying. Because it doesn't look like it yet, but we know that our Redeemer liveth. He said, I stand upon the rock to see what he will say to me. And he said, write the vision. He said, make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. He said, though it tarries, he said, wait for it. It shall not tarry. It shall surely come to pass. I don't know what God has destined you for, but I came to speak to you tonight in the spirit and in the power of Moses. The one that brings people out of the pit. And I come to speak to you in the spirit of Joshua. The one that carries men to their promised land. Whatever it is that God has planted in you. Whatever grace, whatever ordination. As I speak now by the spirit. The hand of God is upon you. To awaken you to that ordination. It doesn't matter your gender. The limitations of your destiny may anchor on gender. But I come to you by a spirit that is eternal. Even the limitations of gender can be taken away. The limitations of education can be taken away. The limitations of minority of tribe can be taken away. Whatever ordination written concerning you, as you hear my voice tonight, let it become an activation of that ordination. Enter the Holy of Holies. I have entered the covenant of Yahweh. I have entered the altar of Jerusalem to Yeshua, who is the Word of God, to my Jesus. Through his blood. I want to pray for someone now. But before I make declarations, just pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. Pray passionately, like somebody who is part of the future of Kenya. Because tonight, like I said, we will not only pray for men, we will pray for systems and for the nation. I want you to pray like someone that has a part to play in the destiny of Kenya. Pray in the spirit.
the covenant of Yahweh. I belong to the family of Yahweh. I am standing on the covenant of Yahweh. Standing on the Yeshua, who is the Word of God, through my Jesus, through His love, I belong to the family of Yahweh. I am standing on the covenant of Yahweh. I am standing at the altar of Jerusalem, to Yeshua, who is the Word of God, to my Jesus. Yahweh, I am standing on the covenant of Yahweh. I am standing on the altar of Jerusalem.
Now, the first thing God will do is that He will activate ordinations. There are some of you carrying destinies that will affect individuals. There are some of you carrying destinies that should affect families. Ushers, help them. There are some of you carrying destinies that should affect systems. And there are some of you carrying destinies that should affect nations. Some are intercessors, others are missionaries, others are leaders, others are businessmen, others are sponsors. Right now, wherever you are, I put demand on your ordination. Ushers, help them. Ushers, help them. I release the fire. Hallelujah.
God is touching. I don't want people to fall on them. Just bring them forward. Now hear this. There are some of you here, you are currently going through intense warfare. But it's not personal. It's not because of you. It's because of what you represent. And so now the Lord sent me to give you strength. And so every one of you here, that on account of your ordination, you are being fought, you are being attacked, and you are going through battles. Wherever you are now, by the Spirit, receive strength. Some of you, they are fighting you in government. They are fighting you in your business. They are fighting you in your ministry. Attacking your name. Attacking what you stand for. The devil is fighting the calling. I bring you strength. You are being fought. God is giving you visibility. You are being fought. It's because of what you represent. The devil has gone ahead. They saw the star of Jesus when he was 8 days old. Now the Lord asked me to bring you strength. Father, from the left to the right, on the galleries and those following online, everyone being attacked, everyone being fought, everyone being contended with because of their ministries, because of their ordinations. Now let there be a wave of the Spirit here. Releasing strength, releasing strength, releasing strength. Take that strength now. Hear this. Some of you have been discouraged, and even your altar is dying because it looks as if you've done everything there is to do, but things kept going down. The devil came prepared, but there is a power called synergistic power that when you come into the company of the saints, the strength of all becomes a strength of one. He said, how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. It's like the dew upon Mount Hermon. There, the Lord commands his blessing. Stretch your hands in my direction. There are 24 persons that God will rekindle their fire now. Ushers, you need to be very sensitive because the intensity will be heavy. Some of them will literally run. Some of them will jump. Some of them will scream. They can't contain it because there is a rekindling. Wherever these ones are, 24 altars come alive for Kenya's sake. For Kenya's sake. For Kenya's sake. Take that fire. Pepper. Balte. Balate. Hamden. Hamden. La la la. Bakaya. Variator. Such men needs to carry extraordinary graces and dimensions. Because when we are done praying, there is a wisdom required to get the job done. And so we can't pray the demons away, and there are no men to occupy vacuums. And so there are men God wants to raise tonight in the order of Daniel. He said there was an excellent spirit in Daniel. An excellent spirit, so much so that it was the hidden queen that read his citation. Daniel didn't need to speak about himself. Even the hidden knew that there was a man in whom dwelleth the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Now, put your hand on your head. And please be quiet if you can. As sensitive as possible. There's a wind of the spirit that we blow over this place. Hear this. The reason we do this is because the reason we do this is simple. Is this. There are certain things you can't teach. You can only impart them as a body of spirit. Because even you don't know how you have it. And even if you knew, you wouldn't have the utterance to communicate it. And so what God wants to do is to embody men with it through impartation. There is a kind of wisdom and an excellent spirit that is about to come on persons standing here tonight and those hearing online. A wisdom that makes you proffer national solutions. And even if you are not popular, they will seek you and find you, because what you carry, only you have it. The same grace that Daniel had, that they sought him even when he was in the cave. Wherever you are, hear me now. By the Spirit of God,
I provoke a quickening. The excellent spirit, the spirit of wisdom by the Holy Ghost. Take that grace now. Nations will be stranded until wise men rise. Now be numbered among the wise. The wise men of Kenya. The wise men of Kenya. I call you forth by the Spirit. Wherever you are, hear the clarion call of the Holy Ghost. Step into wisdom. Let ancient chronicles begin to open. Ushers, help me find them. You can be in ministry. You can be in business. You can be in government. It doesn't matter. Wisdom is wisdom. Take that wisdom now.
Spirit of victory, cover us with your wing. Blow like a mighty wind. Spirit of victory.
Please bring them out so they don't fall on them. Everyone God is touching now. Blow. Help her, help her, help her. Be sensitive. Help her, hold her.
Spirit of victory.
Cover us with your wings.
Blow.
Spirit of victory,
Spirit of victory,
cover us with your wings,
cover us with your wings.
Blow,
like a mighty wind.
Spirit of victory, cover us with your wings.
Blow, like a mighty wind.
Spirit of victory.
Tools of greatness, but the devil is manipulating your mind. In 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1, it says Satan moved David. There are many persons that have been moved out of their destinies. They keep making mistakes, repeating cycles, falling prey to demonic patterns, and never coming to the fullness of their ordination. Now, the programs of demons are about to break. Wherever you are, every great man shielded, enveloped, and buried by demons through demonic programs and intelligence, whatever they wrote concerning you, I come by the testimony of the blood of the Lamb, and I cancel those writings now. Come out of that program. Come out of that program.
Spirit of victory, Spirit of victory,
cover us with your wings,
cover us with your wings.
Blow
like a mighty wind.
Spirit of victory.
Up now, I'm deliberate about the prayers I'm praying, because there are vacuums that have been filled. There are two things I'll declare now and will happen to those hearing me. Number one, there is a boldness that you need to enter your destiny, because the journey of destiny is warfare. Some of you, the problem you have is your heart. Your heart is not cooked to withstand the fiery darts Your heart is not cooked to withstand the manipulations and the battles on the corridor of destiny. Hear this. There's a phase of your life where you must be perceived as arrogant, because you will need brutality to go through. There's a heart that will tell. Many people quiver out of destiny because they can't bear the weight of destinies. And so I pray for you now. He said to Ezekiel, I have changed your heart. I decree now, the heart of a ruler, the heart of a warrior, the heart of a giant, the heart of a more than a conqueror, I release upon you now. Everyone reduced by the quality of their heart, the Lord changes that heart tonight. You can be easily intimidated. You are not ready for destiny. You can be easily manipulated. You are not ready for destiny. Hear this. A whole nation can rise up against you. Let it not move you. Including the people Jesus healed, gathered together to nail him. He never backed down. You should be able to look at Pilate and said, you are doing what you are doing because it's given to you. But never back down. Even on the cross, it was not broken. I pray for you tonight. The heart that conquers, the heart that subdues, receive that heart now. If you don't want men to speak against you, then you are not ready for destiny. I speak over you tonight. You will not back down because of what men say. They can say whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. But you are going forward and upward in the name of Jesus. And finally, I decree over you tonight, there is a favor that elevates. God perfumed Solomon with so much favor that even in the midst of the enemy, he kept rising. I decree over you, the things you cannot do for yourself, the places you cannot take yourself to, by the operation of the spirit of favor, step into those realms now. Step into those realms now. Some of you, what you couldn't do for yourself in the last 10 years, by favor, you will have in 1 month. Why many great men can't explain their greatness? Because they know something more than their hard work is at work in their lives. I decree concerning you, more than your effort receive, more than your hard work have, in the name of Jesus. And so we address every manipulative spirit, every controlling spirit over destinies that are assembled here tonight. Your dominion ends this moment. We command your dominion to break this moment in the name of Jesus. Every power that has kept you in one spot, now I address those powers, because they couldn't hold me back by the mercies of God. I decree now their influence over you breaks. Every force that has limited you only to Kenya and has decreed that your influence will not affect Africa and the world, I address those forces now, and I command them, break this moment. Thank you, Father. You don't have to be old to make impact. And it's never too late, no matter how old you are. I decree now, let your age, your gender, and your race become inconsequential. by the hand of God, arise, shine. By the hand of God, arise, shine. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. By this time next year, most of you hearing me here will be making national impact. By this time next year, most of you hearing me here, your influence would have crossed the borders of Kenya. In the name of Jesus. And finally, every altar that has turned to ashes, I decree that it is rekindled. I decree that it is rekindled. Everybody hearing and will hear me from this sermon, the grace to step into your priesthood, receive now. Receive now. Receive now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands and honor Him. We decree that the government of God superimposes over the nation of Kenya. We decree that over and above the intelligence of those in power, let the Spirit of God begin to control this nation. Let the will of God alone find expression. Let the invincible hand of God take over. Let the superlative wisdom of God take charge. In the name of Jesus. And we decree territorial spirits that cause confusion, they are held bound. Because this is a priesthood conference, we decree that fresh incense will rise from this altar, and it will create a new spiritual possibility over the nation of Kenya. So let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' precious name. Praise God. We have a session tomorrow morning. I'll be talking to us about the ranking of priests, so everyone will know the direction to which they need to grow. These things we are teaching are heavy matters, and I pray that beyond what I've said, you will hear. And then tomorrow evening, we'll have a miracle service. Bring the sick. God will show Himself strong. God bless you.
Blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.